Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 23 through 28. Hear the word of the Lord. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord. Last Sunday, I was down at the Becker Church all Sunday to celebrate their 125-year anniversary, and I would imagine that most of the pastors that served there also served this church as well. And as I look back over the history of that church, there have been 68 pastors who served that church, so you've probably had close to that number, 68, 69, 70, somewhere in there. And I'm sure that each of these pastors did the best they could to preach the Word of God and to administer the sacraments. And just going back that 125 years, you get a sense of history there. Recently, the Pope visited the United States. And the Catholic Church has a list of all the popes that go all the way back to St. Peter in the Catholic tradition. So there's a list of 266 popes that go back to the founding of the Church in the early New Testament times there. In the Jewish tradition, there is a high priest. And I'm sure if you can go through the Bible, you can come up with a list of all the high priests that were established there throughout the Old Testament. So you could make a list of that sort. So you can, there's a whole history of people who have been in that position of high priest or pastor or leadership roles of some nature. Our text today begins with the following. It says, furthermore, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. So whether we look at the pastors or the popes throughout history or things like that, with the exception of just a few pastors, a couple popes that are still alive, most of those folks have passed on. But the writer of the book of Hebrews wants to point out the fact that Jesus is unlike all these other high priests. And the author notes that Jesus holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. And it's appropriate this week that the lectionary text is once again from the book of Hebrews, because in Covenant Bible study this past week, we studied the book of Hebrews. So for those of us who are in that class, this is very familiar territory because we were sort of exploring that this whole past week. And in the book of Hebrews, it does have an Old Testament feel to it. Even though it's a New Testament book, it sounds very Old Testament-like. There's a lot of things, a lot of references in there to the Old Testament. So as you read it, the author drives home the point that Jesus is a high priest, and he is unlike any of the other high priests that were before him or after him. He is unique in that respect. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, one can read about the high priest that goes into the Holy of Holies once a year. And that is in the temple. And he goes in there to make a sacrifice first for himself and then for the people. And this is known as the Day of Reconciliation. You can read about that in Leviticus chapter 13 or 16. But that's what they did. It was a day of reconciliation that was a very high holy day for them, and it only occurred once a year, but it had to occur every year because there was no high priest that was not without sin. The people were certainly without sin, so that had to take place every year. God commanded that that should take place each and every year at that time. But the author of the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus put an end to that old system. And not only was Jesus the high priest, but he was also the sacrifice as well. So he was actually both. But he was actually more than that even, because if you read throughout all the Old Testament, all the things you read about find their fulfillment in Jesus. So he is all these things that we see in the Old Testament wrapped up into one. God is fulfilling his covenant through Jesus Christ. And he is the perfect sacrifice once for all. And Paul writes about this in his letter to the church in Corinth. He says, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us." So Paul is saying what was done each year, that one day, the day of reconciliation, Jesus basically, that is every day now. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's what our ministry is. It's reconciliation. And in a world that is often being torn apart by various things, we have a unique opportunity to be reconcilers, because God was reconciling the world, not just us. It doesn't say Christians. It says the world was being reconciled to him through Christ. And we now have the ministry of reconciliation. So that is what our ministry is, the ministry of reconciliation. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, "For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy and blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He is able for all time to save those who approach him, since he always lives to make intercession for us." So Jesus now is our mediator. He is there to make intercession for us. He intercedes for us on our behalf. And he sits at the right hand of God, and all things have been made subject to him. And we have access to the Father through him. As I noted, there was much fanfare, especially a couple weeks ago when Pope Francis was in the United States. It was a big, big to-do, you know. There's a lot going on, and he garnered much attention over the past few weeks for that reason. And the reason for that is that Pope Francis has a lot of power to change the fundamental doctrines of the Catholic Church and the direction that the Catholic Church is heading. He has that power to do that. But today, in the Protestant tradition, today is Reformation Sunday. 499 years ago, Martin Luther took the 95 Theses and nailed them to the door on the Wittenberg Church in Germany, because he just wanted to have a little chat about these things. And as Protestants, we don't recognize that authority of the Pope. He's certainly a religious figure, and he should be respected and things like that. But we don't have to go through anybody like that to have access to Jesus. We have direct access to Jesus. That was one of the things Luther was all upset about. He's saying, come on, people. You don't have to go through all this. You have direct access. You yourself can communicate directly with Jesus. He is there for you. He mediates for you. You don't have to go through any of these intermediaries. It just doesn't have to happen that way. The Bible says it doesn't have to happen that way. So that's one of the big differences between the Protestant church and the Catholic church. And sometimes I think we forget that. But we do have direct access to Jesus. And like I said, the Pope, as well respected as he is and things like that, he's a fallible human being. I'm your pastor. I'm a fallible human being. I mean, my job here is to proclaim the Word of God and to administer the sacraments to the best of my ability. But your relationship is really with Jesus Christ, directly with Jesus. You don't have to go through me and things like that. You know, We're kind of on the same level there. We all have access to Jesus, so we don't have to go through those types of things. But Protestant and Catholic alike, I think we have a tendency to place too much hope and too much power in some of the earthly authorities in this world. And we place our hope in this or in that. And we're kind of like, in a way, the woman at the well who comes out there every day at noon to get the water. You know, if you remember that story. And one day Jesus is there and he says, you know, I can give you water that will you won't be thirsty again. You know, you come out here each day to get a drink of water and you're thirsty again the next day or whatever. I can give you water that you will not be thirsty again. And that's important, I think, for us to remember, because we go from this thing to that thing trying to find something in it, to quench our thirst, as it were. And we get kind of restless. And from time to time, we'll go to this well continually, and all of a sudden, it doesn't quench our thirst like it used to. So we go on to something else. And I think that's sort of happening on a grand scale in the world right now. There's this kind of restlessness that is setting in. There's this impatience and uneasiness that is setting in. And you sense that things are happening where people are searching now for that new well to tap into to get a fresh drink of water. And whether that search is for a person or an idea or whatever the thing may be, there's this search that's going on. And it seems to be a search that we go through in each age. We go through it, we try to find a new thing that we can tap into, and we think we might find utopia, some grand thing there, but ultimately it doesn't work out that way. It turns out to be just as dysfunctional as what we thought the last great thing was. So the author of Hebrews reminds us that we don't have to go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. We don't have to put our hope in things that are fleeting, and like the things of this world that are fleeting, they are fading away. That's just the reality of this world. You know, things fade away after a while. But for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, even though the things of this world are fleeting and fading away, there's a sense deep within us that not all is fleeting. There is a sense that we are connected to the one who resides in the heavenly places, and we have that connection there already. And not all is fleeting, and we are actually being drawn to that place now, not down the road somewhere. We are being drawn to that place now. We can sense that now, that we are in direct communication with the Lord who is in the heavenly places, and he intercedes on our behalf. So in effect, we are pilgrims in this land. We're on a journey. That's what we are, and I think we kind of know that. We sense that. We kind of sense that we're not quite at home, you know? Even though this may be where we grew up or whatever, it's not quite home, and we know it. Our destination is a city not built by human hands, but our destination is a city built by God. And in that city, there is no longer any hunger, and there is no thirst anymore. Because there, the Lord will provide. He will give us all that we need. There won't even be any need for sunlight, because he will be the radiant light that shines on everything. So the book of Hebrews is really a grand book that talks about the heavenly realms. And the author reminds us that we have access into those heavenly realms right now. We have direct access to Jesus, who intercedes for us. And he is there for us. And we don't have to be searching for something to quench our thirst over and over again. He will provide that and lead us into areas of life that we had never anticipated, because he will lead us into the heavenly things here and now, actually. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.